Good evening and welcome everyone to the regular meeting of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Board of Directors for December 6, 2022. And with that, I'd like to call the meeting to order. And I'd like to ask Director Ford if you would kindly stand and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. This building. Thank you, Director Ford. Director Gutzeit just joined us. Director Bronstein is on her way, and we probably will be lacking Directors Cooper and Ozahowski tonight. I know Cooper for sure, and we think Director Ozahowski, but we will move forward. Excuse me? Yes. Yes, I will. Okay. So Margot is here. Okay. All right. For tonight's announcements, this meeting is being conducted in person at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the board using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public, using either the call-in option or internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. We do have members of the public present, and so I'd like to remind the members of the public, we do have public comment cards in the hallway. To please fill those out to make it easier for the public comment process. The procedure for tonight's meetings are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for board comments. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from board members. Please raise your hand. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call for roll call votes. Most directors are present, not all, but Director Cooper is absent. Vice President Ozahowski is absent, and Director Bronstein is on her way, as I understand it. Like to continue with the agenda to item 3, public comment. I do have one written comment card. So I would like to know if Ms. Noltermeyer would like to come to the podium and make her public comment for item 3.
Cam Noltermeyer. Yes, I just wanted to bring to your attention because I was very busy and just getting into your agenda, and I found all these changes. So the rest of my time was spent pulling off all of these changes, increasing a lot of things. It's like pipeline projects, wells all over. And I wonder why they were so late. All kinds of wells. You're just, do you have that much water right now? you're just putting in wells, 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 wells. And to me, it just seems a little unusual then to make this many changes at the very last minute. And it is numerous. So that's not really allowing the public a chance to see what you're doing. And it's getting more disturbing all the time. And it probably will be now until after the end of the year. And then things will change drastically. It's my understanding. And that's what I've been following through ever since a certain gentleman died. And I realized that nobody was being made aware of what he had put forth. And it's exactly what we're seeing coming around. And I don't know what the point is of this evening and why it was so late in coming through. It's hard enough for the public to get through your agendas. They're massive, you know, and it does cover everything, and I appreciate that because I do go through them. But this one, I spent a lot of my time just before leaving pulling these off. And I don't think that's fair to the public. It's maybe seem petty, but I think now more than ever, and especially through the holidays, you're going to have to be very upfront with the public and make it very clear what you're doing and not at the last minute have all of these. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Noltemeyer. I have no other public comment cards, April. Do we have any members of the public online who wish to make public comment under item 3?
We do not.
Thank you very much. Director Bronstein has joined us. And would you like to introduce your family member that joined you?
Yeah, my youngest kid is here. Sometimes that's what happens when
Welcome.
You have Good. To come to the board and pick up kids and at the same time. So
good to see you. All right, we move on to item 4, approval of the agenda. There were a few changes to tonight's agenda. An amended agenda is at each of your spots, was posted on the SCD Water website and distributed by email. Item 6.3 was moved to item 5.7 under the consent calendar per the November 21, 2022 Finance and Administration meeting recap report, and both item 14 closed session and item 15 closed session announcements were removed from tonight's agenda. Are there any changes, additions, or other modifications to the agenda from the board?
I'm just wondering why it got moved to consent calendar, the internship.
Why did it get moved to the consent calendar?
Yeah. Wasn't it on the regular agenda for discussion?
I believe finance recommended it go to finance. I mean, go to consent.
Oh, well,
is that correct, April?
Yes, it is. Director Planbeck, it should have originally been on consent. It was recommended and is stated under the recap report for the Finance and Administration Committee meeting. So we just moved it.
Okay, I just thought everybody would like to hear about it, so I didn't understand why.
And that item still can be pulled if you wanted to pull it from consent, but it is on consent. But I can't even talk tonight. You can pull it if you'd like.
Are there any changes, additions, or modifications to the agenda? Seeing none, the agenda is hereby approved. We move to item 5, approval of the consent calendar. There are 7 items on the consent calendar. Are there any public comment on the consent calendar, April?
There is not, but I believe Ms. Donna Gladback is on and did have a comment. Donna, did you want to make a public comment? Donna, you just need to unmute yourself if you'd like to make a public comment. President Martin.
Oh, hello.
There she is.
Yes. Yes. I would like just to take a moment to thank everyone for all of the wonderful support and condolences, cards, letters, phone calls, gifts, everything that you have done to make it easier in these very difficult times after the passing away of my husband, Jerry Gladbach. I also would like to thank you for your consideration in having a scholarship that may be awarded in the future in his name. I know that over the years, Jerry spent many a day, many an hour working with your board on as a director of the board, and he enjoyed each and every moment of it. It was very important to him, and it was his life. It was his passion, his mission to work in the water industry. He also was very intent on mentoring people. He liked to help those who were new on the board and give them guidance and assistance to have little tips on how they could participate as board members. And his mentoring very often was recognized, and it's a legacy where his work will go on because of the younger people he tried to encourage to work in the industry, not only as members of the board, but in many areas in the water industry. And because of that, having a scholarship is such an exciting thing for me to consider, because it would even further bring the memory of my husband to bear fruit in all the young people who would work in the industry too, the industry he loved. And that was very important. I'd also like to just take a quick moment. I haven't had a chance to actually thank Matt Stone for the beautiful article he wrote in the program for a conference that took place, I think it was in Orange County. Thank you very much. That was a very, very beautiful page that recognizing the work of my husband. I also would like to thank the members of the board and the staff for all of their condolences during this very, very sad time. And in particular, I'd like to thank Gary Martin for his calls and for April phone calls, coordinating different things. I appreciate it so much, and it means a great deal to me. And I thank you so much for everything, and hope that the young people that will receive a scholarship will continue to shed light on all the importance of water and why water is such a critical part of our lives. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mrs. Gladbach. We are very honored to have you address our board tonight, and we will be happy to move this item forward on the consent calendar. Seeing no other further comments, Director Armitage, would you like to say something?
Is this about consent calendar?
Go ahead.
So I would like to ask to pull 5.5 about the scholarship, not because I don't support it. I fully support it, but I have some comments that I wanted to make about it.
Okay. All right. Madam Secretary, please call the roll for the consent calendar.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Klambeck.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Gutzeit.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
This item is approved, and that includes resolution number SCV-318 and excludes item 5.5.
Thank you, Board. We can move on to item 6, action items for approval. We do have six.
President Martin, I would go to item 5.5 first.
Pardon me?
Go to item 5.5 first. which was the item that was pulled from consent.
I still can't hear you, April.
I would go to item 5.5 first before you go to the next items for action.
Okay.
Can you clarify what you said?
Yeah, I can.
We pulled that. So, Director. All right.
So we pulled item 5.5. We pulled item 5.5, correct? All right.
We did, yes.
I'm sorry about that, folks. So we'll take under consideration item 5.5, which is approve implementation of the Edward G. Jerry Gladbach Scholarship. Director Colley.
So I'd like to move the item. I don't think this would be very contentious, but
I'd like to second it, and now we can just discuss it.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Director Armitage.
Thank you. So thank you for allowing me to pull it so I could discuss it briefly. So I am very supportive of the idea of the scholarship. I think this is investing in our future workforce. And, you know, every time I go to a conference, one of the topics that always comes up is recruitment and retention, and how we're having the silver tsunami, which means a lot of people are leaving the workforce and taking their institutional knowledge with them. And there's a great need to backfill and find talented people to fill these roles. So I clearly understand that this is a big issue that we need to be addressing. And I think this is a really good way, a puzzle piece to help fill that. So I just want to say thank you to all the work that's been done to get this to this point. And I agree, creating a scholarship fund is a way of raising our profile as a model employer in our community and as part of our business community who gives back to our community. So because of that, I kind of have something I want to throw out for consideration. And I wonder whether adding the scholarship just solely to AQUA is kind of the singular best option, or if maybe we could perhaps going, not necessarily now, because I know we're working on a tight timeline to try to get this into the next scholarship cycle, but maybe thinking going forward into the next cycle, if perhaps we could also consider expanding to the local Santa Clarita Valley scholarship program that could specifically benefit students in our community. And I think that would also, because, you know, we talked about in the memo, raising our profile in our community. I think that would be a more effective way of doing that. So I did a little research, and there is a Santa Clarita Valley Scholarship Foundation that is specifically for graduates of our local William S. Hart School District. And they award scholarships to graduating seniors, and they award up to $250,000 each year. And the donors have included the various teachers associations throughout the Valley, Henry Mayo Hospital Foundation, Feed SCV, and many other local groups. And so, again, I understand that we're working on a time frame here to get this out into the next scholarship cycle. So I'm not suggesting we hold this up. I'm fine with approving this as it is today. But I would just ask that perhaps next year we consider, maybe we alternate every other year. One year it goes to AQUA, the other year it stays local, or if we could perhaps split it in some fashion so that some of it goes to the AQUA Scholarship Fund and some come to the local students. I just wanted to throw that out there for discussion in the future. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Armitage. I see Mr. Cole taking feverishly notes, so I'm sure we will bring that up at POL at future time. Director Kelly.
If finance looked at this and we definitely looking at the scholarship program with AQUA as being an annual event. But it was given back to Kathy Martin to come up with solutions for local type of scholarships, whether it be COC or the Scholarship Foundation. So that's something that should be on the agenda in the upcoming committee meetings. So look forward to that. Make sure you get your information out to the appropriate person and see if we can move forward on that. Because the key thing that I was really impressed with and looking forward to was all the recognition that Director Gladbach had with JPIA, with Aqua, and how we can move forward and continue to keep his name out there and alive, similar to you know, the past executive director and other individuals for scholarship programs. We get a little bit more bang for our buck as far as where he'd love to be. But Santa Cruz obviously is a place that we should also try to find a place to recognize him. So by all means, bring it up to the right committee and let's see if we can continue to move that forward.
Director Bronstein.
Thank you. I'm going to be clear that I am in full support of this. So my questions have nothing to do with not trying to get this. But I think that it's important for the public to know, A, how are we funding this? And if this is in perpetuity. And I'm assuming that these funds are coming from our, they're not coming from our rate, from our rates, which is totally fine. I just would like us to remember that we do these kind of things sometimes for other benefits that are bigger than just our immediate needs. And so when we later on have a discussion about maybe doing a pilot program for ratepayer assistance, a lot of people have said that, you know, it comes out of somewhere else. And I just want to remind everybody that this is also coming from somewhere else. So just like we do one thing, we should be able to do it for other things that will actually benefit our ratepayers. That's all.
Thank you, Director Bronstein. Were you looking for a response to this? Because I think the staff report was pretty clear about the benefits of the agency, and I do believe there's money in the budget for the scholarship. So, any other comments or questions or discussion from the board? Director Colley.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment because something that Donna said sort of made me smile, that Jerry would reach out and support new directors. I think from Jerry's point of view, we were all new directors. And as a new director over most of the last 20 years, I can't tell you how accurate she is. Over the last 20 years, how often he reached out to me to help support me as a new director. So I just thought that was very accurate, although his view of a new director is probably a little bit different than most.
Thank you, Director Colley. I agree with you on that. Director Gusay.
I just wanted to point out that it does include, and correct me if I'm wrong, funds for a COC program. So there is some local element to this, but I am familiar with the foundation that you mentioned, and I know that you can contribute to that. You know, even I've contributed at like $500 level, even for a one-year period. So that is another way to, you know, reach out to our local students. And certainly we can promote this to our local students too, to apply. It doesn't have to be to even to the Jerry Gladbach scholarship, but a local focus is already in there. And I know that we can do more because it is a graying industry and, but also a terrifically fascinating industry. So I like that comment, but I also support this measure as it's written for now.
Thank you, Director Gusay. Any other discussion or questions from the board? We have a motion and a second. April, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Gusay.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Planbeck.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yeah.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass, but we do need to go back to the consent calendar. I do need to get a motion and a second. We did place a vote. We just need that motion and a second for the consent, which again would exclude the 5.5.
Motion by RJ.
I'll second.
Okay. So I thought we did have a motion and a second on the consent.
No. We just took the vote. We needed to get the
right. Go ahead and take the vote.
We already did, so we're okay. It did pass.
All right. Any more confusion for tonight?
Well, I'll just note that Director Kelly made the motion and Director Bronstein seconded for the record. We just forgot that one piece.
Okay. Thank you, board. We can move on to item six, if that's okay. We have two items on the action item calendar for tonight. Item 6.1 is the first one up. This is authorize the general manager to execute a contract with GS Sand Canyon for Rent, LLC, for FCD Water's fair share cost to construct the Sand Canyon Plaza pump station, including construction quality assurance and control testing, construction inspection, and engineering services during construction. This presenter tonight is Orlando Marino, unless General Manager Stone would like to say something introductory.
I'll just note this was discussed through the Engineering and Operations Committee and moved forward, but it was felt appropriate to have that explanation and background for the board on an action item. So Orlando is here to make that presentation.
Orlando, go ahead.
Thank you, President Martin, for the introduction, and good evening, directors. As mentioned, my name is Orlando Moreno. I am a senior engineer and our agency's project manager on the proposed pump station project and related water improvements for the Sand Canyon Plaza development. If we could please go to the next slide there, April. Thank you. All right, so we'll begin with an overall view of the Dean Pressure Zone that's located on the east side of our service area. Today, there's an existing pumping deficit of 1,707 gallons per minute in the original Dean Zone shown here in the larger green area. The deficit was identified in the Santa Clarita Water District Master Plan that was prepared back in 2013. The pumping deficit will increase by 1,470 gallons per minute with the development of the Skyline Ranch and Dean Zone expansion shown here in the smaller orange area to the left. And then the Sand Canyon Plaza development shown here in blue will further add about 520 gallons per minute of pumping deficit to the system. A new 2,000 gallon per minute pump station is proposed to be built within the limits of the Sand Canyon Plaza development to address a portion of the existing Dean Zone pumping deficit and provide additional capacity for the new development. A second project will construct a second pump station at Skyline Ranch that will meet that development's pumping demands and also address the remaining pumping deficit in the Dean Zone. These new pump stations will allow us to consolidate our pumps at two sites and improve our operational efficiency. We'll be removing the existing Soledad pump station shown here at the bottom of the slide. And then this also gives us the flexibility of taking the Linda Vista or the Honey House pump stations offline if we desire to do that. And this would could potentially reduce long-term operational costs in this zone for us. Next slide, please. So here we're looking at a zoomed in view of the Sand Canyon Plaza development on the left and a blow up of the new pump station site here on the right. This pump station will need to be in operation before the developer's first building occupancy. The pump station will house two duty pumps and one emergency standby, each with a capacity of 1,000 GPM, giving us a total firm capacity of 2,000 GPM at this station. That capacity will cover the 520 GPM generated by this development and a significant portion of the existing deficit in the zone. As I mentioned, the remaining pumping deficit will be addressed by the new pump station at Skyline Ranch. Also, the new pump station was included as part of the overall Sand Canyon Plaza development entitlements and CEQA document approvals. The City of Santa Clarita approved the final EIR for this development back in September of 2017. Next slide, please. So this table provides a fair share cost breakdown for each of the large water improvement projects that are required for this development. The projects include offsite and in-track water pipeline work for which the cost will be fully funded by the developer. A new 1.7 million gallon tank and site improvements will be completed at our existing Dean Tank site, which the developer will be responsible for about 38% of that project. And that's currently in design. And then for this project, the pump station, the developer will be responsible to cover 26% of the construction and construction support costs, with the agency funding the remaining 74%. The developer's fair share percentage was calculated basically by dividing the development's pumping demand of 520 GPM by the 2000 GPM of the new pump station. So basically, we took 520 divided by 2000, and that gave us a 26% share that the developer is responsible for. Next slide, please. The developer will be performing and supervising the construction of the pump station, and they will be responsible for bidding, selecting, and hiring the contractor. This arrangement allows the pump station to be completed much faster, reduces agency staff resources, and reduces overall project costs to the agency. The agency will be entering into an agreement with the developer. In that agreement, the agency will reimburse the developer for cost incurred, but not to exceed our fair share percentage. The developer will grant the pump station land to the agency in fee at no cost. They will also be providing a certified graded site, retaining walls, electrical meter, erosion control, topographic survey, all at their own cost. They will be managing the contractor all the way through completion and manage the construction quality assurance and control testing for the project. On the flip side, the agency will be managing the construction inspection and engineering construction support services portion of this work. The developer will be giving us a deposit payment to cover that fair share cost for these services before the start of construction. I also should note the developer will be responsible for all required facility capacity fees in full as part of the development project. Next slide, please. Okay, so the developer sent the construction documents to seven potential bidders. Five of the bidders declined to bid. A bid was received from Pacific Hydrotech and Cali Agua. The bid amounts from Pacific Hydrotech was just over $2.66 million, and Cali Agua came in just a little over $2.68 million. The two bids were within $20,000 of each other, and they came in at approximately 9% over the engineer's estimate of approximately $2.48 million. So after receiving concurrence from our agency, the developer is proceeding to award the project to Pacific Hydrotech. They are highly qualified and experienced in pump station construction. The contractor has completed several pump station projects recently in our service area and throughout Southern California. In fact, they're building a pump station at the new Tesoro development now and are expected to complete that by the end of, beginning of next year before this project starts. Next slide, please. Additional services, the project will require construction admin and support costs that will be shared between the agency and the developer. The first is a construction inspection of $268,410, which the agency intends to self-perform with our in-house inspectors. We also have quality assurance control testing in the amount of $69,030. The developer will be hiring and managing LGC Valley, a local engineering outfit that will be conducting specialty inspection that we just don't have the expertise for. And then we will be hiring Civil Tech to provide engineering support services during construction in the amount of $62,350. Next slide, please. So this slide provides a breakdown of the overall cost and fair share cost allocation between the agency and the developer. The total project cost, including construction and construction support services, will be just a little over $3.06 million, with the developer contributing $796,092. Our agency's total contribution will be $2,265,798,000, which is less than the $2.4 million we've allocated in our fiscal year 22-23 CIP budget for this particular project. Next slide, please. On schedule, with your approval tonight, we are hoping to start the construction on the pump station in March of next year after grading is completed. And we expect the pump station to be substantially completed by November, December of next year. Next slide, please. So to conclude, we request that the Board of Directors authorize the General Manager to execute a contract with GS Sand Canyon for Rent LLC for SCV Water's fair share costs in the not to exceed amount of $2,265,798 to construct the Sand Canyon Plaza Station in the Dean Zone, including construction quality assurance and control testing, construction inspections, and engineering services during construction. With that, I appreciate your time, and I will pass it back to President Martin for questions and comments. Thank you all.
Thank you, Orlando, for the presentation. I have no public comment cards. April, do we have any members of the public online who wish to comment?
We do not.
Thank you very much. We can open up to board discussion, questions. Director Gutzeit.
Thank you for the presentation. I really liked it. It was a good explanation, as I'm not on that committee. Two questions. You mentioned two pump stations at the beginning. I'm assuming Skyline Ranch will hear another time, or was that already handled?
Yes, that is correct. That'll be in a future meeting.
Okay. And then another question, and this is the case of, you know a little bit, what's the saying, you know a little bit, but just enough to be dangerous. I saw your comment about prevailing wage for the work on the pump station itself. A bunch of us attended this Labor Management Compliance Council presentation, and there was an extensive, legal counsel would like this, there's an extensive discussion of like in lieu of fees and how, some people try to circumvent the prevailing wage if the developer's constructing some of the project. Can you either explain or check into this pad, slope, and retaining walls, if the developer will be doing that at prevailing wage or not, and what is it allowed to do it that way? I don't know if you know it now, but that's something I remember from the conference. And is there any comment on it now, or you can get back to me later if not?
Yeah, I think I need to get back to you on that at a later time, if that's okay. I just need to make sure, I need to check with our developer and see what his arrangement is with his contractor on those portions of work.
Yeah, because there's some nuances that were fascinating from that conference. And I have that actually in my AB1234 report and all the references. It was like environmental compliance in a whole nother realm. So I can provide that if it comes up, but I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Gutzeit. Director Planbeck.
Hi, thank you for your presentation, Mr. Moreno, and probably you have some idea what I might be going to say. And I just want everyone to know that it does not reflect on you or your report or anything else. Let me begin with that. And I remain concerned about the percentage that the public is paying. And I understand how you've gotten to it from a 2013 capacity report that was made and presented and approved before this agency was even formed. We're using very old reports or analysis of what was needed. It's not the capacity report, but or maybe it is called the capacity report. But I just, we are consistently building all these projects, and the ratepayers are paying for the vast majority of it because of this analysis that none of us or many of the new board members have not even seen. And I think that that's a really big concern. And I know engineering said that they were going to redo these reports and do the analysis again. But we are doing a lot of these building of things with the ratepayers paying for most of them. So I'm going to vote no, but I want everyone to know that it's not that I oppose the tanks or the pipes or the development. It's that I am concerned about the percentage that the ratepayer is paying versus the developer. And I appreciate Ms. Gutzeit's concern over prevailing wage. I would agree with that too.
Mr. Mayo, would you like to structure the answers such that these charges that the ratepayer is supposedly paying are fair and adequate for service that we're providing?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Thank you. So in engineering, we often have to use the best available data, the 2013 report. We have reviewed it even more recently. All the numbers within it seem to still apply, and it is the most current data we have. to provide the information on this. The alternative would be the developer would build a 520 gallon per minute pump station, and that's all that would be built, and we wouldn't get the access to the land, and we wouldn't get the graded site, and we wouldn't get the CEQA accomplished. All of those would be at our cost when we made up the difference later. And since the development is moving now, this is our opportunity to take advantage of those cost savings, partnering with this development to recover a deficit that we know of at this time. Will we refine those numbers? Yes, but in all likelihood, the number could be potentially even higher. We're not sure what comes out of it, but at very least, we've tackled a problem we already know about.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Dr. Planbeck.
So I don't really understand why you're saying that the developer is paying for the CEQA and we would have to pay for that otherwise, since they would have to do that as part of their project.
They do. They have to do the CEQA for a 520 gallon per minute pump station. But in order to make up the deficit later, if we were to delay doing this project and wait for an additional master plan study to give us presumably similar information, we would have to do our own CEQA, find an additional site and grade and pave that site for a pump station to be built to make up that deficit in the system, because we would no longer have the developer site available. They would just have the 520 gallon site that they have provided as is required for their development.
So I think when the projects are approved for schools, the developers normally provide a school site. They're not providing a tank site for us?
Yeah, they normally provide the site based off of what their need is. And we worked with them on providing a larger site for the additional size, and they didn't charge us for that additional space. So there is a savings in getting the site from the developer. We might be able to modify it if they put a 520 gallon per minute pump station in that location at a future date to add future pumps. But it would be a lot more challenging than partnering with them now and building it to the size we need for the deficit in the system.
Director Colley.
Just a quick question. I'm assuming that one of the advantages we would have with an additional 1500 GPM pump would be the ability to, or the enhanced ability to keep pumping off of peak electric usage times. Is that an accurate that would assist in that?
Yeah, that's correct. Definitely during the winter months when you are not necessarily having to meet full demand during full summer months, the deficit you still may have to encroach a little bit into that time frame. We need this full pumping capacity. But off those summer months, then yes, you would have the ability to pump faster and therefore less time.
Very good. Any other discussion from the board? I would enter Director Ford.
This, in the absence of Director Cooper, this item was heard in engineering and operations, and it was voted to move forward to the board with the item for approval. And so I will make the motion for approval of the item.
Thank you, Director Ford. Do we have a second? Director Peterson.
I'll second.
We have a second from Director Peterson. Seeing no further discussion, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Gutzeit.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Planbeck.
No.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
This item does pass. Thank you.
Thank you, board. Thank you, staff, for the presentation and response to questions. We can move on to item 6.2, approve receiving and filing of the September 2022 monthly and FY 2022-23 first quarter financial report, July to September 2022. And our presenter is Rochelle Patterson. Ms. Patterson, proceed.
Hey, good evening. I think we have six of the nine directors that this was presented to here out of the, the finance committee. So I will try to make it brief. Just to note, in the past, the monthly and quarterly reports were presented at the Finance and Administration Committee and then placed on the consent calendar to receive and file at the board meeting. There was an interest by the board to receive a presentation of more detailed information related to the agency's financial position, and it was determined that the quarterly report that is presented to the Finance Administration Committee would be a good place to start. So with that said, this report reviews the financing activities for the first quarter, July through September, and compares to the fiscal year 2022-2023 budget, actual revenues versus expenses for the operating and capital budgets that have been recorded. Next slide. Please note that these are quarterly financial highlights from July through September. So there probably have been some updates to these, but these are the highlights for those 3 months. We did receive the excellence in financial reporting from the GFOA for our ACFR. This coincides with the last bullet point about the audit. We actually received our final draft today that will be presented next week to the Finance Administration Committee for a fiscal year 22 audit. We were also authorized to complete a letter of interest for the WIFIA program, and that letter was submitted last month. And we did sign an agreement with Chandler Asset Management for our investment advisory services. Next slide. So this is a slide showing our water sales in acre feet. So our total water produced for retail consumption from July through September was 19,341 acre feet, comprised of 6,082 acre feet of groundwater and 12,559 acre feet of surface water. Total water sales were 18,806 acre feet based on our billing dates, which is a decrease of 9% from the budgeted projection of 20,629 acre feet for the quarter. Next slide. So for our water sales revenue, this is all those little colorful bars are our customer classes, which we see down there at the bottom. Our total water sales for the quarter were $26.1 million, which is a reduction of 19% compared to the quarterly budget of $32.4 million for the period. Water sales, that 19% consists of approximately a reduction of 17%, which equates to $3.1 million in our residential water sales. That's the blue bar on the top. Commercial water sales were under budget by about 1%, which is about $24,000. Landscaping irrigation water sales were under budget by 24%, which is about $1.75 million. As expected with the watering restrictions, and that's in that yellowy gold bar there towards the middle. All other water sales were under budget by 25%, which equates to about $35,511. The total number of billing connections added through September 2022 for this fiscal year was about 460, and for the year we have about 1,550 projected for the year. Next slide. So our total revenues consist of our water sales revenues, which we just talked about, and our non-operating revenues. So overall, our fiscal year 2023 total revenues were $27.5 million, and that was about 23%, $8.3 million under budget. Our non-operating revenues, that's the little bar in orange at the top, will be shown in more detail in the next slide and consists of property taxes, facility capacity fees, and other miscellaneous revenues. Next slide. So our 1% property tax revenues, we typically don't budget to receive any revenues in the first quarter. But we did receive a smaller amount, $722,000, in August. Next slide. The facility capacity fees we received in the first quarter were about $175,000. The regional facility capacity fees collected were $156,000 and $18,693 in retail capacity fees out of a budget of annual budget of $1.5 million. The facility capacity fees and capacity fees are budgeted monthly, even though we have an annual budget. It's just divided by 12. We may not be a true illustration of the annual results because there's always timing issues. Next slide. This is just a table showing where the fees are collected for the facility capacity fees. We list the larger developers separately, and any others goes into the other column. Next slide. So here are other revenues, other miscellaneous revenues, which are in green, the top part of the bar graph, include grants, reimbursements, sell leases, rental income, and investment revenues. Received in the quarter were $472,000, approximately 24% of the budget of $1.9 million. Similar to the FCFs, as was shown previously, grants and reimbursements are also annualized monthly. It is unknown when those grants and reimbursements will be received. Next slide. These are investment maturities by fiscal year. So as of September, the agency has approximately $223 million in short and long-term investments. A significant amount, $158 million of the agency's investments is held in liquid accounts, such as LAIF, which is the local agency investment fund, or LACPIF, which is the LA County Pooled Investment Funds, and then U.S. Bank, Wells Fargo Money Market Funds, and some long-term investments, which equals $64.6 million. And those are held in Federal Home Loan Bank bonds and Federal National Mortgage Association and Fannie Mae Certificates of Deposit. Over the past couple of years, the agency has invested in long-term investments in an effort to maximize its returns. Staff and the agency's investment advisor will be looking for additional investment opportunities in order to maximize the agency's investment returns. The agency's average annual yield is 1.381%, as a majority of the agency's investments are held in liquid accounts. The investment advisors from Chandler are working on a cash flow analysis, which goes back 3 years, that will assist the agency staff in determining the amount of funds that can be transferred to long-term investments from those current investments held in our liquid accounts to take advantage of some higher investment returns. Next slide. This is a slide that talks about our capital improvement program. We have the PAYGO on the left and the debt-funded projects on the right. Expenditures for the CIP projects depend on bid timing and contract awards, coordination with other agencies and coordination with other projects, staffing levels, and other factors. The fiscal year 2022-23 PAYGO budget for capital improvement expenditures for the year totals about $75.8 million. Of that, 5% or about $3.5 million in funds have been expended. The fiscal year 2022-2023 debt-funded budget for CIP expenditures was just about $42 million of that amount, 4.8 or $2 million of those funds have been expended through September. And details of those CIP projects can be found in the packet. Next slide. So our operating expenditures in fiscal year 22-23, operating expenditures of $17.9 million. We were under budget by about 24%, which is about $5.5 million of the $22.9 million budget. Our significant activities, water quality treatment and maintenance, we were over budget by about 12%, which was about $335,000, primarily due to treatment plant power cost. That's in the light orange gold color in the middle of the graph. Water resources were under budget by about 41%, which is about $938,000, and is primarily due to conservation program expenses being under budget. That's that gray color. Source of supply were under budget by about 72%, which is about $2.2 million. Core water supply payments, which is the Buena Vista, Rosedale, Rio Bravo payments, those ones for the budget were put in monthly, but we do only pay them twice a year. Next year, we will correct that, so it will be a better representation of the budget, but that's why it is showing under budget. And then pumping wells and storage were under budget by about 25%, which is $989,000. And it's primarily due to the timing of the PFAS resin changeouts and some Southern California Edison invoices. And that's in that dark orange color. Next slide. This is our debt service. This is our current outstanding principal balance and does not include any forecasted debt. In the first quarter of fiscal year 22-23, the payment of $20,290,000 was made. The principal debt outstanding as of September is $261 million. That does exclude the Valencia Water Division acquisition interfund loan and some accreted interest from the 1999A COPs. Next slide. This is our cash position as of September. We have fully funded reserve balance of $113.9 million per the agency policy. That's in the gray bar on the right and broken out by a reserve type in the pie chart on the right. We have restricted cash of $106.5 million, which includes a facility capacity fee and retail capacity fee funds, state water project funds, and any remaining bond proceeds, which is in the blue bar on the left-hand side. And our unrestricted cash of about $43.3 million to meet the agency's payment obligations, such as operating expenses, including debt service, payroll expenses, insurance, CIP, PAYGO, et cetera. That's in the orange bar on the chart on the left. Next slide. Some other items in the finance packet. Is the statement of revenues and expenses for the month of September and shows the year to date. Also has a detailed investment report, a 3-month cash flow, which actually starts with the estimated cash of November and goes through January of 2023, our debt and cash position, which was shown earlier, our facility capacity fee as shown earlier, also lists the 10 largest disbursements from the check register, the quarterly credit card register, and director stipends and reimbursements. Next slide. And the recommendations that the Finance and Administration Committee recommended that the Board of Directors receive and file the September 2022 monthly and the fiscal year 2022-2023 first quarter financial report. And that completes my report.
Thank you, Rochelle, very much. Excellent presentation. I don't have any public comment cards. Do we have any members of the public who wish to comment online, April?
We do not.
Thank you very much. We can open it up to board discussion. Director Armitage.
I just want to say thank you for the presentation. I think in addition to it being good for us board members to see at our full board meeting on a quarterly basis, I also think it's good for the public to make this available to the public to hear and see as well on a quarterly basis. So just want to say thank you.
Any other comments from the board? Thank you very much. We can now entertain a motion for,
do we need a motion?
Or receive and file?
We do need a motion and a second to receive and file.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll move to receive and file.
I'm sorry, I who motioned?
Bronstein.
Okay, and seconded?
Director Kelly, yeah.
Thank you.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Unless there's further discussion, please call the roll, April.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Klambeck.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Gutzeit.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item will be received and filed. Thank you.
Thank you, Board. Thank you, staff. We move on to item 7, discussion of debt-funded projects presented by our chief engineer, Courtney Mayle. Mr. Mayle.
Thank you very much, Gary. Thank you very much, Board of Directors. My name is Courtney Mayle, Chief Engineer for Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency. I want to start off and apologize for the late submittal of my PowerPoint presentation, as was noted by Camp Noltemeyer. Ms. Noltemeyer, I apologize to you as well for not putting this in earlier. I do try to get our presentations in as early as possible. I will say that all of this information contained in this report is not new information. It was contained within the budget and is previously available. But this is a new format and looks a little different. And so I should have had that in earlier. At a recent Finance Committee meeting, it was suggested that the board would benefit from a longer term look at our proposed alternative finance projects. And these are the projects that are not currently in our PAYGO budget. And they were listed as debt finance on the prior presentation by Rochelle. This is an information-only item to help the board provide direction to finance on the best method to fund these projects, especially the next 2 years, as we're moving forward with these projects now, and that's going to become critical in very quickly. This is a high-level overview of the project with a brief explanation of project importance and potential impacts of delay. And most of these projects come back to the board with much greater detail in the preliminary design, again, at final design, and then finally prior to going to construction. Next slide, please. Thank you. I tried to keep this format the same as we've had previously with our budget, and so I just copied each fiscal year budget and going to walk through it and then show the projects associated, new projects on each new fiscal year. So This is the proposed alternate funded projects for this fiscal year. As a reminder, we had $18 million in prior bond proceeds going forward toward this approximately $42 million in alternate funded CIP, leaving about $24 million unfunded currently. Next slide, please. So this is the Earl Schmidt filtration plant. I'm happy to say that we are well on our way towards completion. They've already poured the basins and done quite a bit of the work. The project improves the efficiency of the treatment plant, and the costs for this project will extend into next year as well. Because this project is already underway, a failure to complete the funding for this project would result in significant costs to the agency, and the plant would not see the benefits of the project because we would have to stop paying the contractor. The projects that are in the alternate funding group are regional in nature, generally like this type of treatment plant, and take advantage of generational equity. So if WIFIA or bond funding is selected, the cost of the project is spread out over a number of years so that future users who will benefit from this facility also contribute to the project cost. As noted in the Finance Committee, we have approximately 40% additional growth to ultimate build out, and they should contribute to the cost of these future projects as well. Next slide, please. Well 201, the design is complete on this project. We're ready to head to construction. This is a treatment project, and the well is projected to recover up to 3,250 acre feet per year. A failure to move on this project would prevent the further use of this site and would increase reliance on imported supply. Next slide, please. There are several recycled water projects, including the fill station and pipeline installations shown here. By expanding the pipeline and area of use of recycled water, we are able to save potable water by replacing its use with recycled water.
Similar to the well treatment projects, the recycled water projects are designed to reduce the reliance on imported water by using our local resources. We are also actively seeking and have received a number of grants for our recycled water projects. Next slide, please. All of the pipeline projects are very near completion. Just punch list items or small remaining tasks are being completed for these projects. So the remaining deposits are really the retainer that we hold on those projects until the projects are complete and will be released upon notice of completion. So obviously completing and finishing these projects and spending that money is an obligation we already have. As far as the tank is concerned, there is currently no emergency storage in the western side of the agency. Per a 2017 study, the western side needs approximately 25 million gallons of emergency storage. This project takes a small bite out of that deficit at approximately 8 million gallons. The master plan that we are currently working on will also be re-examining the emergency storage of the agency and providing additional recommendations. But because this only handles approximately a third of the identified deficit, we felt it was prudent to continue with this project and not delay it any further. Without the project, in the event of an emergency or extended planned import supply outage, we would not be able to provide water for more than the 3 operational days provided in the retail reservoirs. The target emergency supply is between 7 and 21 days. Next slide, please. This project is designed to remove a bottleneck in our system. This section of pipe is only 36 inches, all highlighted in blue. The project itself that we're dealing with here is the area circled in the yellow dot. Due to easement constraints, we must complete this portion of the project soon. The rest of the pipeline will be scheduled in future years. The rest of the pipeline was delayed due to engineering and operations determination of priority. So project priority for all of these projects is evaluated based on 4 main criteria. We examine a project's risk, evaluating the likelihood of failure and comparing it to the consequence of failure. We evaluate our staffing. What is the realistic amount of work the engineering and operations staff can accomplish? We evaluate it against budget. What is the available budget and do we have to complete the work? And we evaluate it on basis of consequence of delay, known easement issues, environmental constraints, new regulations that may be coming, and inflation. In this project, the construction easement will expire and it was very difficult to obtain. So the consequence of delay is high for this specific portion of the project. But the other portions were determined to be not as high a priority compared to water supply PFAS projects and based on our current staffing and budget. There you will see the Castaic Conduit Pipeline come up in later years in this presentation. Next slide, please. The LARC Pipeline is mostly a grant-funded project, $3.9 million versus $1.5 million for the agency participation. By participating in this project and supplying this water supply to the LARC mobile home park, we are given access by the state to grants, zero interest loans, and low interest loans. Delay or failure to complete this project would leave the community without water and wouldn't give us the access to those other resources that they provide. Next slide, please. For water resources, we have water banking supplies and investments in sites reservoirs are required to meet the water projections detailed in the urban water management plan and our water supply assessments. If water banking or sites investment was not funded, the agency would need to find another way to achieve those objectives. During a wet year, excessive runoff and imported water is diverted into shallow ponds, spreading basins, or wetlands. The water seeps into a ground, eventually reaching the aquifer. I thought it was important to show what the water banking actually looks like in its process. Next slide, please. So this is the slide, the summary of the fiscal year 23-24. I've noted the 4 new projects that we have coming up. Those are the ones I'm going to cover moving forward. The other projects are continuations from the prior years. Next slide, please. This is a very busy site. This is right next to Lowe's off of Railroad near, or off of Bouquet near Newhall. This is a T7, U4, U6 and are currently offline. And once the PFAS treatment is completed, we'll be producing up to 3,500 gallons per minute. We also have on this site, we're going to bring in the Saugus 1 and 2 with VOC treatment, which will contribute or produce up to 2,400 gallons per minute. And the site also has Q2, which can produce 1,700 gallons per minute. And it will receive disinfection from the new chem building that is proposed as part of this project. Similar to all of our supply projects, failure to move on this project would prevent the further use of this site, would increase increase reliance on imported supply. Next slide, please. So this is additional well treatment, S6, 7, and 8. They are all currently offline. And if we are able to bring them back online, we were looking to recover up to 6,000 gallons per minute. We also have on this site a proposed future S9 well, which would give us an additional 1,000 gallons per minute at this site. That is not part of the project that we're bringing forward now. It's just important to note that we are planning for that future. Next slide, please. Santa Clara and Hanby, this is currently in construction. The vessels are completed and the wells are currently offline. So we will be attempting to recover approximately 2,000 gallons per minute for this treatment site in water supply. And again, failure to do any of the well projects or water supply projects would result on additional dependence on imported supply. Next slide, please. As part of the Vista Canyon development, they have to build a bridge. And as part of that bridge, they are impacting our Mitchell 5A well. So the developer is responsible to abandon the existing 5A, and then we are also going to need to find a new location for that well. This is a location still to be determined, and it is anticipated that we will achieve up to 1,000 gallons per minute on recovery of a new well. Next slide, please. For fiscal year 24-25, we're getting... Those are the first 2 years that we need to look for funding. Now we're moving on. But as you can see, again, several of the projects that we had previously approved continue to carry on. And we have three new projects. And it, as I said earlier, the Castaic Conduit is back on the table. And now is where we would start the pipeline portion of that project. Next slide, please. So well treatment for N11, 12, and 13, we are currently online, but we are showing early indication of PFHX that suggests that treatment is imminent. We want to try to get ahead of that. We have some preliminary site design we've done, and we're working on property acquisition, which we will be bringing to the board in upcoming board meetings, as well as future planning studies to determine the site planning there, including doing some pellet softening and filtration in addition to PFAS treatment. The failure to move on this project would result in the wells going offline if we do end up having meeting our threshold for that PFHX, and we would lose that local supply. Next slide, please. The Newhall Railroad crossing, this is a connection between two existing stubs of a 24-inch pipe. The connection is shown in red. The crossing of the train tracks is the biggest hurdle and expense on the project, also probably why it was not connected in the past. We currently have a bottleneck in our system. As a result of this, tank 1B does not fill as fast as tanks 1 and 1A in the same system. This means we are unable to fully utilize the system as designed because we can't fill the tanks at the same level. So without this project, we would have to continue to manage that deficiency. Next slide, please. So Saugus 5 and 6, these are proposed new wells. The location for these are still unknown. We're working with Five Point to determine a piece of property that they would ultimately provide to drill these two additional wells. The blue dots shown on here are all of our Saugus wells, with the exception of Saugus 3 and 4, which we are currently drilling near Magic Mountain. And the new location of wells 5 and 6 will also be part of our master planning effort. So the exact location, the furthering of that project will come with the master plan. Next slide, please. Fiscal year 25-26, the only new project we list here are the E-wells. Currently, we have two E-wells in operation, E-15 and E-17. I probably should move on to the next slide for talk about the E-wells. So the two currently in operation are E-15 and E-17. The other two wells, E-14 and E-16, need to be equipped. The wells have been drilled, but they aren't equipped for use yet. We are also detecting PFHX in these wells, and so treatment is likely to be required as shown on this proposed layout. We still need to acquire this property from Five Point in order to make this project a reality. Next slide, please. So on this one, although we have a few new projects, a lot of them are, two of them listed there are for emergency storage. And so I didn't go into further display of these projects. Most likely, part of the master plan work that we will do will reprioritize this fifth year and beyond. So I didn't go further than this presentation all the way to the 10-year because I know that our master plan is going to be modifying it moving forward. And our primary focus is to get the budget approved for the next two-year period. So that concludes my presentation. Thank you for the opportunity to present, and I will hand it back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayo. Excellent presentation. I don't have any public comment cards, April. Do we have any members of the public online who wish to comment?
We do not.
Thank you very much. We can entertain questions, comments, discussion from the board. This is an informational presentation. No action is required. So we'll open it up to the board for any questions or discussion you'd like to have. Director Planbeck.
Just wondering if you could clarify a little bit more about where the Newhall Crossing is. I didn't understand exactly where it was from.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's at Newhall and Railroad, right where they merge, and the railroad track comes across there.
Okay.
And we have a 24-inch on either side on Newhall Avenue, and the connection is made in between them.
Okay, thanks.
Director Gutzeit.
First of all, I appreciate the format of this presentation. I think it shows, you know, the phasing and our comprehensive attention to both emergency backup supply, bringing more wells online, and anticipating the ongoing impact of PFAS. So it's reassuring to me, again, as I said before, not being on engineering, to know that this stuff is not coming as a surprise to us all of a sudden, that we're planning ahead. So general comment there. And then just specific comment. Again, I remember a little. Didn't we have magnesium or manganese problems at some of the Newhall wells? I'm looking at Steve, but maybe it's...
Yes, we do at some of the...
But is it the ones that you mentioned, N11, 12, and 13?
It was N10 specifically, okay. Although we have had some. And so we would need to treat the others and make sure that wasn't the case. But N10, which isn't part of that list,
okay,
wouldn't be utilized, had the majority of the magnesium problem.
Okay, but maybe at these other ones, you'll check it. Right. And, you know, I think also that illustrates that I actually had this question posed to me, like, why doesn't the city of Los Angeles use their groundwater? And I like the way that we look at what the problem is, we fix it. It doesn't mean it's not available, it just means it needs a different recipe. And then on perchlorate, again, weren't we supposed to get some Saugus wells because of the perchlorate settlement? And are some of these those? Or is that a different Saugus was a replacement?
Yeah, and I will.
3 and 4, which are under construction.
Okay. There's
a contribution towards those.
Okay, but these are just new Saugus, 5 and 6.
Correct. Okay. That's part of our long-term reliability program. And obviously they have to be cited and developed with insights from the GSA work that, mm-hmm. as you know, sitting on that mm-hmm. Body,
right.
There's kind of an interplay on the management of the aquifer, location of the wells, capabilities, et cetera.
Okay.
But those are envisioned for the coming years to expand the ability to kind of flex on and off the Saugus aquifer during drought events.
So. Right. No, it all looks really good to me. So thank you. That was my questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Cole, did you have something you'd like to add?
No, I was just going to jump in on the manganese, but okay. Court answered that. So we're good. Thank you, President Martin.
Very good. Director Armitage.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you for this. I think it's really helpful in helping us with kind of the problem we were having from things kind of getting popped around from committee to committee and then coming to the board. And so I think this gives us a nice fuller picture to consider. So I appreciate that. And I know I'm going to go back and listen to this again and kind of reprocess some of what you said, because it's really good information. So thank you. One question on the slide about wells N11, 12, and 13, there was a bullet point that said pellet softening. Can you explain that?
The bullet point that says what? I'm sorry.
Pellet softening.
Yeah. So the a lot of the Newhall area is served by wells. So they have relatively high water, hard water levels. By doing pellet softening at the wellhead treatment, you can soften that water, blend it with the other well water, and overall soften the system.
Okay, so that's what I thought, and I actually like that answer, and I'm wondering, because I feel like this is an issue all over the valley, right? I mean, is that something we can implement at, relatively?
Yeah, Captain Soft.
Yes.
Is a champion of this, and there is some history, and I don't mean to jump in, but and I only learned it because of Mike and Steve, but there was an effort back with Valencia Water Company to actually implement a softening facility that was online for a period of time. They had hard water in one of their wells, and they were trying to demonstrate the idea that if we could do this at scale, it would be less costly overall for customers than paying $70 or $100 a month. It might cost a tenth of that or less at scale. I think one of the things that disrupted that notion early on was PFAS, that all of a sudden the higher priority was to get the harmful stuff out of the water, and the hardness, while a nuisance, isn't physically harmful. So I think our hopes are that we can get back to looking at that. And in this situation with scoping out a site for treatment, the thought was to go ahead and make room for that, whether it goes at that time or at a future time, so that we would have thought about it in the layout of the site.
Yeah, no, I like that. And I would encourage, as much as possible within cost constraints, that we continue doing that. Because I will tell you, the number one comment I get when you talk to people about our water out here is how hard it is. So again, if it's within our budget and we can work it in, I would say, let's do it. So thank you.
I think about it often when I'm pumicing the ring off of my my basin in my restroom.
Dr. Kleinbeck.
Wasn't there also an issue of cost, because 70% of our water is still used outside? And so if you're softening everything, you're softening the outside water too. It seems to me I remember that issue with this Valencia well as well.
Yeah, I can't speak to the economic decisions they made as a private company, but I do think at scale, not hard water scale, but at a larger economy of scale, it can be cost effective. And I don't think we're talking about a significant reduction in the. I'll leave it there. I don't think we're talking about quite the same process that an internal softening, like a salt system, the old school systems did, but it will remove some hardness and make the water more amenable to use without as much scaling and issues.
No, I went up for the tour, and I think there is there's a media issue where you have to keep replenishing it, and then you have to haul it away.
Yeah, and you've got there are issues like that, and the question is, you have you probably need to weigh whether you want to leave it to customers to do that individually and pay companies to come around to their house and haul the same material away at a smaller scale, or do that at a broader scale and perhaps reduce that burden on the community at a less, a lower overall cost. But I think that's, again, the main thrust of that bullet item is the treatment system to remove PFAS. There's also some perchlorate at low levels, at lower than MCL levels at least one of those wells, as I recall. So at 13. So the feeling is the day is coming. We thought either perchlorate might creep up over the MCL, but then with this PFHX rule that's coming soon, that will really kind of push us into needing to look at this issue for treatment.
Did you have a comment, Director Conley?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, the that same bullet caught my attention. It was like, wow, we haven't had any discussion on that for a decade, and all of a sudden it's a bullet point on a slide and just sort of goes by. So, yeah, that discussion is something that will be, I would hope, over a period of many board meetings, because it is a huge thing. And as I recall, Captain PFAS is also Captain Softening when he was in a previous life. So and I think was quite an advocate for that program. My concern is, and of course, this is talking about the needs, and then we mentioned the multi-generational equity and how this might all get financed. I also noted that in the report that just prior to that we are not collecting anything close to the developer impact fees that we had budgeted. And that's a problem, if you will. I don't know a problem. It's a fact that has been a fact for quite a long time, despite the fact that housing prices have increased, and presumably the builders have been, over the last few years, building more briskly than they had historically. I look back not all that many years ago when we used to account for the lack of fees collected by loaning between accounts money that was supposed to account for the debt. And some number of years ago, that just, best of my recollection, just sort of disappeared. We just kind of quit accounting for it, which I've noted in the past is like a little troublesome. I don't know to this day how we ever intend to recover that money. So we have built things that are here today that we said at the time were for future development, and they've not yet been paid for that I know of. The interest on the debt has not been paid for, and I don't know that we have any plan to recover that money at all, which I find troubling. And so this is all, you know, really a huge discussion that it's difficult to piecemeal, and as we deal with each individual piece of it, and I don't think that we fully understand the issues. So, you know, amongst other things, I'd like to have staff try to explain to us the past investments and how we would intend to recover from developers, or recover that money at all, for this, the things that we have already built. So that's just, you know, one of my many concerns.
Thank you, Director Colley. Any other comments or discussion? I trust that Mr. Cole and Mr. Stone are taking note of Director Colley's questions. I had the same thought, and perhaps that could be a future discussion at least at the finance, on why it is we're underrunning the collection of fees relative to the amount of money we're spending on capital projects, and if there's an answer to that, we'd like to hear it. So, any other discussion? Thank you, Courtney, for the presentation. Very interesting, very useful, and we should do it again on a more frequent basis. We can move on to item H, General Manager's Reports on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone.
Okay, thanks very much. Just really a couple things to report on. I'll start out, pretty much most of our report centers around insights from the Aqua Conference. First, we had an opportunity to meet with counterparts from Rosedale Rio Bravo Water Storage District. And, you know, that's an important partner for us with our ability to store and recover water from their storage facility and project there. So we met with their water resource manager and board president, and Steve, President Martin, and Ali and myself had a chance just to chat over a outdoor lunch, which was nice. Basically kind of just generally get reacquainted. We've got some new players in the mix, both in their staff and ours, and have a general discussion about our respective resource plans, challenges, and our mutual desire to keep our successful program and partnership going in the coming years. So I think that was a good opportunity, and we'll continue to have some dialogue there as we go forward to kind of see how we want to work with them and perhaps shape the program to our mutual benefit as we go forward. There is some opportunity there, we think, and we want to make sure we continue that dialogue. Two other things that were really interesting there. I attended the session on diversity, and it was a roundtable session, and I was expecting it to be a roundtable of experts. But instead, it was really interesting. They threw all of us who showed up around a large number of roundtables, and they gave us a set of questions, issue kind of oriented questions about contemporary staffing and workforce issues, kind of through the lens of the diversity set of issues as well, and turned us loose to talk about it for a period of time. And then we did recaps of what each table's insights were. And I tried to take copious notes. I think I'm still recovering with my hand, but I'll just say for now, I'm digesting some of those themes. I thought it was really a useful and interesting thing, and I hope that there will be more continued dialogue. I'll be interested to see if they issue a summary as well. But I think, Kathy, I think you were there. I thought I saw you there, and Beth as well, right? So we must have all been at different tables, so that's good. Okay, gosh, I told you it was a big room full of tables, so... But it was an interesting discussion for a lot of different reasons. And I found even at our table, we had very different experiences in terms of agency or district culture that people were working within, and what a difference that made in how people perceived different issues. For example, we have two agencies at my table that have everybody back in the office because culturally they don't believe it works. And they had not tackled some of the, what I thought were easy accountability things, like not working from Colorado, Ed's question, right? Yeah. Nothing against Colorado, but the idea that, you know, we need to have it be more of a work from home here where you live, as opposed to work from vacation and things like that. So that wasn't necessarily a diversity question, but there was an opportunity where a lot of different issues kind of came out, and some good ideas about recruitment, workforce satisfaction, insights about the changing generational needs and being attentive to that as managers and board members. So overall, I think I took away a lot from that. Another one, and I'm kind of skipping some of the more resource oriented ones because we hear about those all the time. The Women in Water event, I found just really excellent. Little hard to hear. It's always hard to hear at those, you know, trying to have a program at a reception is sort of like trying to have a congressional hearing at a circus, you know. Well, that's probably a horrible example, but sounds like something Mark Twain might have said. you get the point. Maybe in a, you know, in a children's nursery or something, there's a lot of chaos in the back of the room and you're trying to hear the speaker. But she was really worth hearing, and that was Sandra Curl, general manager for San Diego County Water Authority. And I'm pretty familiar with that organization over the years. And, you know, her main focus was on telling the story of her career progression and kind of giving examples of how various mentors and encouragers and supporters along the way really made the difference, you know, to get her. I mean, she obviously is a person with a lot of drive and initiative, but she noted a lot of places in her career where someone encouraging her or saying, have you thought about, you know, maybe you should aim here, made a big difference or supported her effort. And I thought that was a really good story, the way she told it. And one of the more interesting things, which is almost a passing comment, maybe because she didn't want to ruffle any feathers in the room, but she made a comment about her intent and effort to kind of change the culture of the organization to be less command and control. And that sort of resonated with one of the themes in the roundtable discussion, too, that the age of sort of management by fear is over. And people need to know that they're valued and that their work is valuable. Obviously, accountability is still vital and reporting structure is still vital. But there's this other dimension to managing a workforce in this day and age. And the meaning of the work we do is important. And it seems to be something that I found, particularly in the public sector, that makes a difference. A couple other, just the usual stuff that you get at conferences. I did run into a couple of colleagues, got tuned in to some interesting things going on. Have a couple of follow-up conversations to have, and if anything really interesting comes back from that, I'll share that with you at a future meeting. And then I kept thinking, I was standing there, took a photo of that nice little lake, you know, with the mountains behind it by that one part of the conference center, and you get a lot of walking at this conference. I think I walked like 8 miles back and forth, but I took this photo and I thought, this photo looks really familiar. I went back and looked, and in 2015, I took the same photo. I was at that conference, and that was the time when I had interviewed with the Castaic Lake Board and had been hired, but they said, could you come to the conference? We can't pay your way, but are you coming to the conference? If you are, we'd love to have an informal meet and greet at one of the receptions. And so it really brought that memory back of how much happens in 7 years' time. It's just pretty fun to think about. And I think that's it for tonight's update. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Do we have any public comment, April, on Mr. Stone's report?
We do not.
Okay. So we can have any comments or discussion from the board? Seeing none, thank you, Matt, for your report. We can now move on to item 9, which is committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes only. You have in your packet 3 committee reports. So do we have any? First of all, we must ask for public comment, April.
There is none.
Very good. Any questions or discussion or comments from the board on the committee reports? Seeing none, we can move on to item 10, written reports for informational purposes only. There are 5 of those in your packet. Do we have any public comment on the written reports?
We do not.
Thank you very much. Any questions or discussion from the board on the written reports? Director Armitage.
Thank you.
I have one question or maybe a couple questions on 10.3, the treatment distribution operations and maintenance section report. So in the report, there's mention of work seismic valves installed at a number of tanks. So the two questions I had on that, because I remember we had conversation or discussion a long time ago about securing tanks for seismic activity. So I'm just curious, could you remind me how the seismic valves work and then what percentage of the tanks that need some type of work for seismic protection have been installed?
Director Armitage, a seismic valve typically is a, it either operates the butterfly valve, which is it turns a valve like we would with a key, or it, in most cases, is affixed to what's called an altitude valve, which is a hydraulic valve that operates based on the water levels in the tank to open and close, basically to keep tanks from overflowing when they're full. And in the case of applying a seismic valve to that, what happens is that valve has a seismic sensor in it, and it's set to some magnitude earthquake, and it will trip, and it will either close that valve manually, or it will make that altitude valve close. And those things, those valves and devices are also wired into our SCADA system, so we get alarms anytime they're tripped and they go off and whatnot. But the we don't intend to put them on every tank because, you know, when there's an earthquake, there's fires, there's things going on. So you have to have water available to be used or to drain away through open pipes if the pipes are broken. But you don't want all your water draining away. So we have a process of going through and selecting a number of tanks in each zone that we leave without valves and tanks that we have valves on them. I don't know what our percentage is now, but we have been doing, up to maybe 6 to 12 a year for the past 5 or so years. And so we're making pretty good progress towards our goal of getting them all outfitted, all the ones that we choose to outfit.
Thank you. I appreciate that. These are the kinds of things that make me feel better knowing that, you know, these improvements are being made to them to make our system less vulnerable to disasters. So thank you for that.
Sure.
And then I do have a couple questions for 10.4, the water resources section report. So I thought that the lawn replacement program webinar, I didn't catch the whole thing, but I thought I came out on the tail end. It seemed like it was really well attended. So I was wondering if you knew how many people were able to participate and join in that. I enjoyed reading that the staff had met with the City of Santa Clarita staff to talk about the MUELO, the Model Water Efficiency Landscape Ordinance. I was excited to read that and wondering if there's also plans to have that same discussion with county folks. And then for the Touch a Truck event, I wasn't able to go. My kids were there getting their volunteer hours, but I wasn't able to go. But I saw that you had the portable water refill station, which I thought was great. So thank you for that. And one more. I saw the note on staff's working on refreshing the offering of gardening classes and landscape workshop topics for 2023. And I'm wondering if there's been a survey done for people who've participated in the past to survey them for any additional topics they want, or if they wanted repeat topics that they really enjoyed. And then, of course, I'm also going to continue to advocate that any topics on native plants, drought-tolerant native plants, continue to be included. And if perhaps you've considered collaborating with the Theodore Payne Foundation, because they have so many great educational programs that they run through them as well, that I wonder if it would be more efficient or, I mean, of any help at all to the staff to kind of collaborate with them on doing that. And that's it. Thanks.
Good. Thank you, Director Armitage. Are any other questions or comments from the board?
President Martin, did you want me to just run through those real quick?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Director Armitage. the lawn replacement seminar. We'll get you final numbers, but yes, it was well attended. And I did hear Siobhan Haluska today tell us that she's got 17 applications as a result of that seminar. So it worked. Maybe it worked too well. We'll see on capacity of staff and resources, but that's good news. Miwello, yes, we plan to also meet with the county. That was a worthwhile discussion that we had with the city getting on the same page. So I was happy about that.
And are we going to be able to maybe hear what the discussion, maybe big points were in Water Resources Committee, perhaps?
Sure, we can okay, do that.
Thanks.
Yep. And then I took notes on the rest and we can share those with staff and incorporate some of those things. Yep. Thank you, President Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. All right. I think Director Ford.
Yeah, I too have just a couple clarification questions on 10.4, probably for Mr. Cole. One is following up on Director Armitage's comment. When we were at the Region 8 get together a while back, they also had a program with the California Native Plant Society where, so following up on the Theodore Payne Society, you may want to let Matt get in touch with them. They would replace, as I heard it described, if somebody was going to replace their parkway, the Native Plant Society would provide the plant material free of charge to those people who did that. It may be my optimism talking, but that's as I recall it happened. And the other question is for you, Steve. You make a note in here that the recharge feasibility study for the Castaic School site came back and it said there's a possibility of 5,000 acre feet a year. Is that a recharge rate, a put rate, or a take rate, or both? Or what is the 5,000 acre feet per year represent?
Yeah, the 5,000 acre foot per year represents putting it in the ground.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And I think staff is talking a lot about what it means to get it back out of the ground. And that's a much more complicated fair question, enough, honestly, to understand that because it moves. And so I think you'll see some work at the Water Resources Committee to try to develop a understanding of what that would look like so that we can understand if it's a viable project or not.
Fair enough. Thank you.
That's all. Thank you, Director Ford. I don't think I see any other questions or comments. So thank you, Mr. Cole, for responding to the questions. So we can now move on to item 11, President's Report. I'd like to update the board on a number of things. Under outside the agency conferences and events, the Urban Water Institute Spring Water Conference will be held in Palm Springs on February 22 to 24, 2023. The SCB Chamber of Commerce Centennial Celebration Awards and Installation is being held at Canyon Country Community Center from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on February 23rd. Upcoming agency events, we will have an agency holiday party on December 15th from 11:30 to 1:30 at the center, City of Santa Clarita Activity Center. More information to come. I will say that is a director and staff event only, no spouses this time around, but I'm going to take Kathy Martin at her word that they're looking at next year as possibly going back to the traditional holiday party where our spouses will be participating. I hope we can do that. I hope COVID doesn't shut us down again, but thank you at least, Kathy, for giving us some hope for next year. I hope you all can attend the December 15th holiday party. Upcoming board meetings, start time 6 p.m., the regular board meeting on December 20, and the regular board meeting on January 3. Upcoming committee meetings for the month of November and December held at Summit Circle, December 8th, Engineering and Operations, December 14th, Water Resources and Watershed, December 15th, Public Outreach and Legislation. Upcoming committee meetings for the month of November and December. Well, November's gone. So mm-hmm. December held at the Rio Vista
in this Ria Vista boardroom, the December 12th rescheduled Finance and Administration Committee meeting. Other announcements, the agency's holiday giving program is underway. There are still some family members available. Please refer to the email sent out yesterday by Terry Bell. Also, you can make donations to help out Bridge to Home. Again, please refer to the email for more details to come. And so the big announcement that we kind of tipped off earlier in the meeting, Vice President Orzakowski and his wife Chelsea have welcomed their second daughter, Megan, or not Megan, Margot, I'm sorry, 8 pounds, 3 ounces, born at, I think, 6 o'clock this morning. So she's very new and she's very cute. So the election has completed, and I want to congratulate those who did get elected. Some of them are not here, and we'll have more on that. I understand the county is still not certified, but I think all the votes have been counted, so the results are known. So congratulations to those who won, and we can move on from that. So that completes my report for this evening. Are there any public comments, April?
No, there is not.
Very good. Let me back up one step and say that at the December 20 meeting, we will be acknowledging directors who are leaving the board, either voluntary or otherwise. So that'll be at least a nice event to acknowledge their contributions to the water agency and the board. We will have one acknowledgement after the first of the year. Director Kelly will be out of town, so we will be acknowledging his contributions at the January 17th meeting. So any of you would look forward to that. So again, that completes my report. Once again, no public comment. Any questions from the board? Seeing none, we can move on to item 12, AB 1234 reports. There were 7 AB 1230 reports that were posted to the website and sent out by email. We have a lot of active writers on AB 1234s, which saves us time at this meeting. Does anyone have a verbal AB 1234 report?
I just accidentally sent April the wrong report, so the Aqua report did not go in. So I'm just reporting out that I was at the Aqua committee, at the Aqua conference, and the full report will be in the next packet because I think I'm supposed to report after for the next meeting.
Director Colley.
I also attended the Aqua conference last week, Tuesday through Thursday.
Thank you. Director Kelly.
An interesting Aqua conference. We're so used to 2.5 days of activities and keeping us busy and a lot of knowledge, and everything was squeezed into a day and a half. Quite a bit was accomplished. I'd really like to thank Aqua and JPIA for the great recognition and applause that they gave Director Gladbach. Something that obviously is extremely due and deserving. We had some great keynote speakers, including the Consul General of Israel to the Pacific Northwest, talking about their water situation and maybe being in a position to give us some good advice. Who knows? The exhibitors were packed. It was a very good turnout. Doc was getting back to generating the activities to the exhibitor lobby, that allowed the exhibitors to get a little bit more bang for their buck. And I think that's something that's very good. There are a lot of new people there and a lot of the existing people, some of them who I've seen for years, and it takes a while to really cultivate some things, but a lot of them I've seen for years that are now doing some work with, SCV Water. So I think that's something great, too, to let them get out there and continue to do presentations to us. And then somewhere along the line, they get that opportunity to open the door. So I think that's really great, too. There were 3 finance programs. Two of them were nowhere as good as the write-up, shall we say. but they were there. They had some good communication. And I think you've always got the two most boring events are the finance people and the attorneys. Even though they have a lot of good information, you know, they have no humor. They have no knowledge to get out there and talk to the public. But you got to give them their credit where credit's due. And then on November 16th, I ended up attending the SCV Chamber Mixer at Eternal Valley. I did tell them I was not ready to attend Eternal Valley in the near future. So, but anyway, it was a great marketing and meeting presentation. There were about 75 individuals in attendance. So thank you.
Thank you, Director Kelly. Any other AB 12? Director Armitage.
Thank you. I also did attend Aquafall Conference. I was in the midst of my write-up and ran out of time, so I will get it into the next package. So I just want to let you know I did attend. I will say one of the very last sessions at the end of the second day, they had a session on water agencies advancing innovations for sustainable water supply. And I just thought that Long Beach's program that they highlighted was really interesting. It certainly takes kind of what we're doing in terms of lawn replacement program and taking it up a whole new notch. And I'm not necessarily suggesting we go in this direction, but I just thought it was interesting to know that there are agencies or there is an agency doing this. And they have a program called DIG, D-I-G, Direct Install Gardens. And they use strictly grant funds for this so that their ratepayers aren't subsidizing it. So they take grant funds and they take no-cost labor that's donated to them through their local conservation core group, I think. And they specifically target low-income neighborhoods in their agency district. And they help them remove their turf on their front lawns and replace it with drought-tolerant native plants at no cost to the customer. And, you know, all the labor is provided. So they're making it really, really easy for them to do this with the idea of showing even people who may not necessarily have the resources at their fingertips that there are ways to tap into these resources and get the help if they do want that. So they've done 17 of these so far, and they've been thrilled with the results. So I just thought that was a kind of a fascinating project that they're doing down there. So I wanted to highlight that. And then the rest will be in my write-up next time. So thank you. And then I did submit a 1234 report for the annual labor compliance conference that Director Gutzeit mentioned. It was excellent. I would say in the future, if you have new staff members or when new directors come on, that we remind them of this, because I found it to be one of the most informational day-long conferences I've been to in a very long time. And I learned a lot. So thank you for sharing that, Director Gutzeit.
Thank you, Director Armitage. Director Plamber.
I would just add something to the DIG program, and that was, and maybe this can come up in water resources, but just mention it here. I mean, outreach. They were able to provide 100% funding for low-income families, which they looked for the low-income DAC communities. And the way they did it was through a coastal California coastal grant. And that I'm partnering with the Coastal Conservancy, which I thought was really interesting and maybe something that we could look at, because they were concerned about Prop 218 impacts if they just completely funded. So just let me throw that out, a place to look for money maybe.
Thank you.
But you didn't mention that.
I don't see any other AB 1234s, but I did want to make a comment, follow up on what Director Kelly said. Aqua and Aqua JPIA was almost Jerry Gladback week in Indian Wells, and it was very, very moving. I know Rochelle attended the Aqua JPIA dinner in Jerry's honor, and I did too. It was quite a moving to see all the key figures in the state of California water family, from Aqua to Aqua JPIA presidents, past presidents, current presidents, stand up and say what a fine person Jerry Gladback was and what a contribution he made to the water industry in California. And so we all were certainly agree with that, but to see the rest of the state of California stand up and say those things about someone who was near and dear to us was that was very good. And I'll add one more thing. For those who saw the presentations to Jerry, we also will be making a presentation in Jerry's honor at the January 17th board meeting, recognizing his many years of service. When he passed, we did have a little memorial presentation during the first board meeting, but we've never really recognized him with the traditional water drop and proclamation or resolution. So we will be doing that in January, on January 17th. So please look forward to that. And with that, that concludes AB 1234. Did we have any public comment, April?
We do not.
Very good. We can move on to item 13, director reports. Are there any director reports tonight? Director Armitage.
Thank you. So I just want to give a shout out to the students at Valencia High School. They spent time during this first semester of this year helping to spread awareness about the global water crisis. And they fundraised to help fund a gravity water system for a sister community, I want to say in Vietnam. And so their goal was to raise $2,500, and they surpassed their goal and raised almost $3,000 for that project. So I thought that was really cool. And the fact that high school students were interested in clean water for a sister community across the globe is pretty amazing. So I just wanted to recognize them for that. I don't know if there's anything we can do as an agency. Can we, in one of our future communications, just throwing it out there. But I think it's cool that the kids are engaged and interested in water. And if there's anything we can do to recognize them, I think that'd be kind of awesome. And then secondly, and lastly, I took my kids to school this morning. And when I came back, I had one of those tags on my door that my water meter was replaced. And I'm probably the only geek on the block who was excited to see that. The door tag had wonderful information on there. I thought it was very informative. And so I just wanted to say thank you to the staff who created those door tags, so that they could be left for the customers and they understand, what's going on. Cause my water did have it was spurting for a little while, and it says to run it for 1 to 3 minutes. And so anyhow, I thought it was great. And, I was excited. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Any other director reports tonight? I don't see any. Do we have any public comment on the director report that we did receive?
We do not.
Very good. We can move on to item 14, director request for approval for event attendance. Are there any requests for event attendance? Director Brunstein.
So this is really early, but next year, there's going to be the first, I think, water summit, UN water summit in, what did they say, 50 years? In a long time. I think we should look into it. So okay. Putting that out there. I know it's well in advance.
We will certainly do that. Director Husek.
I think this would fall into the not way in advance category. I understand that tomorrow evening at Grace Baptist Church, there is a public meeting on the Bouquet Creek restoration. I wanted to see if I could. Yeah, I just found out the other day as well. I guess it may have been advertised in the paper. I vaguely knew about it, and then somebody told me it's tomorrow. I wanted to see if I could be authorized to attend that.
Are there any? Do we have to take a vote on that, April?
We should, yes.
All right. I propose that anybody who wishes to attend this event has permission to do so. I'd like to make a motion to that effect. Do we have a second?
Second, Armitage.
All right. Any public comment?
There is not.
Very good. Please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Gutzeit.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Cawley.
Yes.
Director Plambeck.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Plambeck.
I already said yes.
Oh, I'm
but
sorry.
I'll say it again.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I confused my line. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's a voter integrity issue.
Director Bronstein. Yes. President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. That is approved.
Very good. Thank you, Director Bronstein.
We don't need approval for Aqua.
No, Aqua's pre-approved.
Pre-approved. Yeah. Any like webinars or things like that, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, just want to note too that for that meeting, Steve Cole and Kathy Martin do plan to attend from staff as well. So,
okay, Director Colley,
could we make sure? Okay, April, could April send out the information on that meeting location, time, any pre-registration that was required, anything else we would want to know? Can we make sure we get that tomorrow morning if possible? Thank you, appreciate it.
Very good. I think that concludes item 14, and the only item left tonight is adjournment. So thank you, board. Thank you, staff. Thank you, public, for attending, and we are hereby adjourned. Thank you, Maria.